Hey, Bird.
Hello. How are we doing?
What's up, Snake?
Do I not hear deedle-deedle-deet?
I don't know.
Deedle-deedle-deet.
Okay. Okay, I guess not. Deedle-deedle-deet. Deedle-deedle-deet.
Okay. It's all right.
Yeah,
we're going to soldier forward.
Yeah.
Okay, so I heard you guys talking about Born on the 4th of July, or Matt talking about watching Born on the 4th of July again, which... Again, to restate, I think it came out in 1990, maybe? 89. Okay.
89, yeah.
Yeah, I knew I was somewhere in early on in college because I went and saw it, and it moved me very much. And we also found out my freshman year in college that before it was made, or while it was being made, that you mentioned it was shot around the area. There's a lot of it shot on the SMU campus, and there's a couple of bar scenes that were shot on TCU's campus. So we learned that you could be an extra in this movie if you showed up to a certain spot. And, you know, they'd look at you, and they wanted, like, hippie types and all that. And I was like, well, hell, I've kind of got long hair. Maybe I can pull this off. And they wanted young people, college people, because they were depicting some sort of music scene at a bar, and they ended up filming it at this place called The Hop, which is no longer there at TCU. But they also needed you to be there like all day long.
Yeah.
And it was going to, again, it was going to pay $50, and I was just like, all day long, $50.
In college in 89? That's the mother load.
Yeah, but it was all day, and I just couldn't justify sitting there all day long.
For $50, I would have stayed there all day, skipped all my classes. That was, man, that's two, 3 weeks.
No, you didn't know if you were going to get the money. You had to get the part to get the money. You had to be an extra. You couldn't just show up and get $50.
Oh, right, man, I would have taken that chance.
Yeah, I'm good.
It's okay. A long day.
It's so boring,
you're
too, because you sit there.
You're 18, 19 years old.
I had a job, too. I actually had a job.
He was employed.
Oh, I didn't. That would have been my job for the day right there.
I had a job. It didn't pay off, but I love that movie. And I was talking about it to like a group of friends, and there was this girl that I was way into. And I was like, hey, you should go see it. And she was like, okay, I'll go see it with you. And so I take her to the movie, and it was like a matinee. We went at like, you know, 2 p.m. or something like that. And we were the only ones in the theater. I'd been talking this movie up like, you know, it was the second coming of Citizen Kane. And we show up there, and we're the only two in the theater. And it was the most awkward, like, 2.5 hours. I don't know. Watching a movie, a Vietnam War movie about a guy.
One.
Yes, with a girl, it was so weird, and then I think she was just like, this guy's a freaking weirdo.
And there is a couple of scenes of full frontal nudity on, he goes down to Mexico, and because no one wants to engage with him, he pays, and there they are.
Yeah, it's weird. It was weird.
You're fine.
Okay.
Did you make out since you were the only ones in there?
Let's see what you've got.
No. You make out in a Vietnam War movie about a guy that gets paralyzed?
Well, she was bored. If she was bored and didn't enjoy the movie,
he gets all angry in the hospital.
Again, you're 18, 19 years old.
I know.
You can make out anywhere.
A scene where they're at the beach, and right when you lean in, it just shows the strippers and all that. And you're like, oh, whoops.
God. Okay. What, the Seinfeld episode where Elaine got busted by her boss or somebody because she was making out during... Or her and Jerry, when they were dead, they were making out during The English Patient.
Oh, right. Yeah. Probably because that movie was so boring, they had to do something.
I'm telling you.
Wait, was it Schindler's List? The argument was The English Patient was a bad movie. I think she got busted making out during Schindler's List, which either way, it's really funny.
That is, you sometimes you forget what it was like when you were that age, and it just, the wind would blow, and you were ready to make out with someone.
And so you were so horrified, even you had to pump yourself up to even make a move to leave
in,
hoping.
But you're the only one in the theater. Man, that
would freak out.
Prime real estate.
Yeah, I didn't shoot my shot there.
I shot my shot at Soul Man, so we could...
Oh, I remember that.
The C. Thomas Howell?
Yes, where he paints himself.
Right, right. I did.
God. Oh, my God, that movie.
It's terrible. But, hey, I'm in the movie theater, and I'm with a girl, so what am I supposed to do?
Yeah, that's true. What if we would have had some earth-shattering heat wave throughout the World Cup here in Dallas, where it was 115 degrees for the entire month long? Would that have changed the perception of the event, because we're clearly remembered, only remembered, by the terrible weather event that the Super Bowl had and the NBA All-Star Games had?
That's a really good point. And I don't think so, because it's climate control. If it's outside, maybe it's a different story.
Well, and also, 115 degrees, you can drive around and get around everywhere just fine.
Right, you're just hot. No, I think you're right. It's not shutting down a city. It's just very inconvenient and not very comfortable.
But like all the outdoor watching parties, all the, you know, march to the stadium from all the teams, people would have died.
Well, it's not like it was 75 and breezy around here. Still was hot out there.
But it also, even yesterday's game, the high was like 88 or 89. Like, no, it was so mild. Really,
yeah, we got pretty lucky, I think. You're right.
Yeah, there were people, I said this yesterday on the air, but there were people that went to the game that were posting online talking about how much hotter it is. They thought they were going to, you know, stumble into a cauldron when they came to Dallas for this game. The Spanish people did, but they were like, dude, Madrid and Barcelona, it's hotter there than it is here.
It's hot over there also. We were in Spain last year at this time, and Madrid was boiling hot.
Yeah. Let's see. From Marlon, have you ever scanned a QR code off your TV? I can't imagine doing that.
Yeah, I have many times.
I've had to. You have to.
Yeah, if you're logging into your account on YouTube TV or something, it's easier to just scan the QR code.
Yes.
Or what was the one at the Super Bowl a couple of years ago where it was just a QR code, that was it? Remember when I think it might have been Coinbase.
And I didn't do it. If it's just a QR code and that's it, I'm not that curious to even know what it is. It's probably, I will uncomfortably type in my password and my email account before I scan a QR code. I'm old.
Dude, I'm telling you right now, we're getting to the point now with all these scan the codes and double verification and where I'm close to being lost. I'm serious.
I do enjoy the double verification. That doesn't bother me. But if you go and park somewhere like downtown, and they tell you to scan that code and it takes forever and
it just pulls up there.
Such a beating.
I hate it. And a lot of times When the double verification says go to your email and check your email for a code, half time I don't even get the code. I'm just like, son of a bitch.
Yes, what do I do? That's always unfortunate.
Are the Rangers circling the drain as we speak with all this streaming crap? No chance they're spending any money with this TV thing so out of sorts. I don't think it changes anything from... Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either.
If they had a Dodgers deal, then it would change things, but they don't.
Right. Look, for everybody that doesn't know, they are short $110 million from that streaming thing that they had with Bally's.
Right.
So that went off the books. And then whatever they have now with Victory Plus or whatever, Buzz Brews now.
Yeah, I don't think it's Buzz Brews, but I'm with you. BZZR.
God, that place used to be right down the street.
Yeah, just breakfast.
The place was awesome.
It was avocado toast. Yes.
Yeah, it was yummy.
Man.
But whatever they're trying to, the $110 million, what is that now? Wait, let's just say Victory Plus. Is it $5 million? Bottom line is, they're short $100 million. Going into built-in money that they had forever and ever, they're short that now, and so, yes, it affects the team.
Yeah, it does affect the team, because that's, for payroll purposes, for something like that, it certainly does. But, man, it is frustrating when you see an owner in Ray Davis who's worth like $3 billion who, well, no, I'm not going to spend any money. Then why'd you buy a sports team? That should be like your video game. Like, you get enjoyment out of playing it, and you want to be good. I don't care if I make money on it, so whatever. Like, I'm going to spend a couple $100 million more because I can. There's no salary cap, and I want to have fun with my baseball team.
I know, but that's the problem, is those guys, and maybe that's why they're billionaires. They don't look at it
that way. That's probably right. Probably right? Exactly why.
Yeah, we're talking pretty loose, and it's not our money.
Right, I'm if the guy was, talking. Right, I have furniture in my house.
It's our money. Then well, maybe we think a little differently.
We've stated this. If somebody gave me, you know, $200 million, I've got 100 friends that are getting $1 million. Because what, like literally, everyone at the radio station that I know would get a check for $1 million. What am I going to do with $200 million? Seriously. What houses do I need? You reach a certain point where it's just like, this it's stupid great. Money.
So what are the possibilities that you come into $200 million just because?
Zero. Oh, okay. We're at the point just, now of my life where it's zero.
Man.
I know.
Yeah, you got Matt's hopes up.
I know. I just saw a Lazy Boy sale for 50% off. I was like, this is great.
He thought he was going to get a check for $1 million.
You will. I promise you, Matt. If I stumble into $200 million, oh my God. Promise you, you're
you know what?
Million.
You know what? What you could do is also take me to a clothing store and we could go shopping.
That's right. You could be non-homeless Matt.
I could buy clothing instead of having it given to me.
And then he goes and he picks up one pair of shorts, one pair of pants, and one shirt. Right. Like, that's it. I'm done.
Yeah. You're like, you're a millionaire. You can buy these things. I'm like, nah, I'm okay.
BZZR, the new Ranger streaming service. This guy says, sounds like a female pleasure device brand name.
Okay.
It does.
And Ham sent me a note earlier and said he thought that the Rangers were moving to Brazzers.
Well, that would be something else.
Actually, that's not a bad idea. Pay for a gold membership and you do get to watch the games and you get access to our whole library.
That's crazy.
Surprise. Would any pro sports team ever move to a porn site?
How much is it?
It's the X Videos Gold Pass, but you can watch your team. But hey, you know,
this guy
I don't even know if that exists. I just threw that out there.
So a Ranger minority owner is an investor in a streaming platform that oddly sounds like an off-brand porn site. Can we just put a Ranger hat on that big old guy sitting on the edge of the bed and just have that be the new team logo?
Oh my gosh. Just on the back, on the front of the uniform.
Yeah, come on.
Man. Awesome.
Oh, God.
Buzzer.
Just got his little hat on.
That'd be fantastic. Can you imagine?
No.
And then it's like the home run inning or whatever is brought to you by whatever genre they're trying to push that day. All right, our CFNM home run inning of tonight.
Oh, God. John Hamm, big fan I am of John Hamm.
Yeah, St. Louis guy.
John Hamm has done a great job of moving away from his Mad Men character, which I would say... I don't, you know, Mad Men is thought of critically as like a top five-y type, you know, one of those
great
modern
show.
TV upper echelon shows. He says, though, I hardly think of Don Draper when I see him in other things. Is there any current actor you can only see in one role?
Man, we've talked about this often, and I feel like Steve Carell plays the same guy, but he does a really good job of it. And it may fluctuate as far as some of the details, but overall, his Michael Scott, that was The Office, right?
Right.
Michael Scott, that role in Rooster, you can almost see that's Michael Scott being an author and a professor.
Smart-ass-y.
Right.
Yeah.
It feels like every role, he kind of just plays the same guy. I think Jason Bateman is the same way.
But in Michael Scott was dumb. Like, he had to play a dumb guy.
Right.
Rooster was a smart guy.
Yeah, but it's still the same aloofness about, you know, certain situations and everything. I don't know. I don't get upset. I kind of still think of John Hamm as Don Draper. I don't know how many other different roles I've seen him
he's
in.
Very
I've seen him
suave.
In a lot, but it's
if you watch your Friends and Neighbors, which he's in right now.
Yes.
Dude, it's so good.
He's like, fantastic. I love that show.
Yeah, he is. He's great. He's funny too. He's in, you know.
Yes.
Even if you watch him in do the Zach Galifianakis Between Two Ferns.
Yeah.
He's really funny. Yeah. Like he
played Old Girl's boyfriend in what movie? Kristen Wiig.
Bridesmaids.
Okay, that's right.
He was great.
Yeah, he was really good in Bridesmaids.
He was great.
He's really good.
For me, Bryan Cranston, I'm still...
As Walt White?
I see Walter White. Aaron Paul was in Westworld, I think.
Yeah.
And I only saw him. Gandolfini, you know, up until 100%. The point of him dying.
Yeah.
I could not.
He was Tony Soprano. That's one guy that I never could picture as anything but Tony Soprano.
But it's just those roles are so iconic. You're going to have a hard time doing that with a lot of those different actors. I don't know how iconic Don Draper is. You know?
Well,
yeah, that's.
It's point. It was a huge show.
It was.
Like Seinfeld, I know he didn't do a lot of acting, but right. All the Friends cast, except for Jennifer Aniston, she's branched out. But yeah, the rest of them?
The guy who played Joey. It is 100%. I think people just kind of view him as this dumb jock type guy.
Man, I know. I watched about half of We Are the Millers the other day.
Matt LeBlanc.
Great movie.
It really is. And man, her role in it is, you want to talk about the opposite of Friends character. She was really good in that.
She was.
Have you seen Horrible Bosses where she plays the slut dentist?
That role is more similar to We Are the Millers than Horrible Bosses than the Friends. It seems like she's purposely trying to get outside of that character to kind of continue on.
Galifianakis is a guy that to me is kind of that, like, always the dude from The Hangover.
Yeah, I can see that.
In some form or fashion, the way that he tends to it feels is that way.
I agree he is, but I still love him. I love
I do
that
too.
Guy. It's kind of Jack Black. Jack Black's kind of the same way.
Man, Jack Black 100%.
Yeah, but I love it. Like, he's fun. It's
like, he
fun...
can't even help himself. Like, if you just see him, like, they'll red carpet interview him and he just goes into that whole Jack Black, like,
I know,
like,
yes.
Every time. I mean,
yes,
well, he is, for real.
And I laugh.
I know, I do too. I'm like, all right, Jack Black is back.
Bye, boys. There you go. Thank you, Snake. Really appreciate it. That's the Birdhouse. Really appreciate you, P-Wans, for sending in those questions.